Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey kids, do you like pro wrestling? It's also the middle of the week. Well, we like professional wrestling too. This week in the news, a couple of quick hits that came down on this Wednesday. The mostly lazy river as we preview Stand and Deliver in WrestleMania, because I'm going to be doing a lot of podcasts this week. And Invader Club, Chris and I both pick an underappreciated or underrated Mania match. He has selected AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon from WrestleMania 33, and I selected Steiners versus Head Shrinkers from the, I think, deservedly maligned WrestleMania 9. This is Shake Them Ropes. I am Jeff Hawkins. He is Chris Novembrino. I am, this is the middle of my workday, but I am gearing up for a lot of wrestling and a lot of podcasting this weekend, as I will be over on Fightful with Sean Ross Sapp doing that. That'll be fun. You get to watch this stuff at your leisure if you want to.
I do. I'm looking forward to that. I am kind of...
That's actually a great feeling when it's like, I don't have to watch this live. I could just kind of put it on.
No, because I have like house projects to do and everything. I'm at the phase of my life where I think about going out, and then I think about the things that I could do around the house that I would be equally mentally stimulated by, and I tend to just do those now. We are out here in New Mexico, right on the cusp of, you know, summer starting to kick in. We are in our last little cold front, but I'm getting ready to change over my heater to the swamp cooler for the summer. And I'm planting all my seeds and everything. So I've got plenty to do around the house. Actually, yesterday I was out in the back doing a little bit of that aforementioned gardening. I discovered as I was clearing out this bed that after I started moving some stuff around, starting to clear out some dirt and just softening up the soil, there was a giant stump in the middle of it. So I got into stump pulling in the middle of the afternoon, Jeff. I pulled that stump, stump, daddy-o. I got it.
I'm in the middle of my condo breakdown / getting rid of stuff project. I tried to tear apart a dresser last weekend, and it turns out even after taking out all the screws and stuff like that, this thing is fairly sturdy, and it's gonna have to be hauled to the curb in one piece or to 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I can't tell which.
So like my yard is xeriscaped, which for those of you who don't live out, I guess, in the Southwest or not like super into lawn trends, is a trend where you actually, you know, basically remove the like grass from your area and then actually put down a matting that prevents things from growing, and then put rocks on top of it to try to minimize growth and everything on your yard and just not use it. And so which is great for me because I'm now kind of de-xeriscaping areas that I want to start growing stuff in. But I'm removing those black tarps from this bed, right? And when I remove the black tarps, Jeff, I find a family of dead snakes that have all been like basically crushed underneath a pile of rocks and black tarps.
No thanks. it's like scorpions in Arizona . Although if you've ever had to deal with a javelina, those things.
Oh my God, they're scary.
Yes.
Yes.
There's a few that live around my parents' place that they are giant now. They look like big boars, and it's like, nope, no thank you. Not dealing with you, sir.
No, and they'll come, and when they set up shop, like they used to set up shop in my yard when I lived out in Arizona, and you couldn't go outside. Like, if the family of javelinos is out there and grazing on your lawn, on the grass that the sub community required us to have or whatever, you just couldn't do anything because, dude, they'll run into your car. They don't care. Especially if they're there with their young, they're going to defend the hell out of their young.
A couple of quick hits have just come down in the last hour or so in the news. Tetsuya Naito and Bushi are both done with New Japan Pro Wrestling. Their contract's expiring. Naito is such a weird thing because, I mean, no one will deny that he was a huge star / IWGP, great IWGP champion. By the other hand, in the last few years, Naito has not been the Naito that we know and love either. He's taken the Tranquilo stuff to a level that's just like, yeah, I'm here. Cool.
He like became the gimmick too much.
Yes, a little bit. I would agree with that. I have no idea where he's going or if he's even going to stay with wrestling or whatnot. It's just one of those stories that's still developing. I thought I'd bring it up in case you had any.
Yeah, no, I saw this too. I feel like he had his success story, right? This is a guy who there were questions about if he could ever do it at that next level, or if he was going to be an upper mid-cardy guy like a Goto, right? And he came up with this re-innovation of his character through Los Ingobernables, and that really took his persona to another level that allowed him to be a champion for New Japan Pro Wrestling. That's about his ceiling. He wasn't going to be, he's not going to be a great champion for New Japan Pro Wrestling. He was a very good one and he became a champion. That's a success story.
I would think agree.
Right? Like, not everyone's going to be Antonio Inoki.
Nor do they necessarily have to be, Brock Lesnar held that title for like a minute and a half. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, he had a run and it was fairly successful. So, I mean, that you can't say much more than that. One other note, appears that AEW Dynamite will take place in Arena Mexico on June 18th. Okay. I'm cool with that. It's one of those things where I'm just wondering, do they book heavy AEW or heavy Lucha for that to get the hometown crowd? Because they don't do well necessarily in push. Don't get me wrong. Don't give me the hologram is on like a is undefeated on Collision crap. Okay, I get it. They do let them win and they do let them do great things, but I wouldn't say that any of the luchadors in AEW are big stars necessarily.
No. I also like have been wondering loosely if any of these companies are going to have issues traveling abroad going ahead here.
Well, a lot of the visa issues have been in the last couple months.
Right.
So, I know.
No, that's what I mean. Like, I think America's kind of on a certain trajectory for at least the next 1400 days. I could foresee that being a problem for these two businesses.
You mean them traveling to other places or foreign?
Yes, getting in,
America?
Getting out, all of the above. Anything in involving travel, basically.
Okay. Yeah, I would have think it'd be the other way around with foreign talents having issues getting work visas and then being more restricted. But it seems
that would
like
that would also be a travel issue. But like, I just think
a lot of those have been cleared up though fairly quickly. So I mean, but. Especially, I mean, I guess WWE has kind of an inside lane on a lot of those too, if they wanted to, but I also just doubt people say that, but it's also one of the things
I don't
where
know.
Like,
yeah.
Government works in crappy ways. And it's like, it doesn't necessarily mean that the wheels turn faster for you just because you have a job in another department. Well, or you have access.
Right, and that's not necessarily going to fix, you know, like an ICE agent, I don't know, going Maverick on any given evening or something like that, and then all of a sudden so-and-so can't make the town and it blows this angle.
I think that's something to deal with when we come to it. That does it for the news. The hell with it. Well, let's go into this long weekend of wrestling. In our lazy river of wrestling criticism, we can cover anything on Raw or SmackDown or NXT that hit our fancy. Starting with Saturday morning wrestling. Good God, why do they do this to themselves? 9:30 for the pre-show? 10 a.m. start time, I believe? And for NXT, stand and deliver? Better bring a breakfast burrito or breakfast sandwich with you to help with the hangover. Otherwise, it might be a long day for you kids. No thank you for me. But, six matches on the main card, one on the pre-show. Pre-show match finalized yesterday, a fatal four-way tag team elimination match to determine the number one contender for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. The Metaphor Ladies, Lash Legend, Jakara Jackson versus Fatal Influence team of Fallon Henley and JC Jane versus Tatum Paxley and Gigi Dolan versus the now reunited, and it feels so, huh, Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade. I thought for certain Roxanne Perez was going to be on one of these WrestleMania cards fighting Bayley, but that shows you how much I know. Chris, who do you think takes this in the Fatal 4-Way?
You said it was Lash, Roxanne, and Cora. Who are the other two teams?
Fallon and JC and Tatum and Gigi.
Maybe Tatum and Gigi get a feel-good win here.
I see. There's this weird thing where I think Fallon and JC might get it because I think they're the only ones who haven't had a turn other than Tatum and Gigi. But Cora and Roxanne are two of Bayley's protege type things, and since she's holding the tag team title with Lyra, and this might be a way to bring Roxanne and Cora Jade up to the main roster, I'm gonna go with Perez and Cora Jade, but I'm not terribly certain of that. Any of these three teams I think would be fine. Lash and
yeah,
always have good matches. Fallon and JC I think deserve to have a bit of a run as a team as opposed to this terrible Fatal Influence gimmick. And Tatum and Gigi, I have no problems with whatsoever.
No, I think Tatum and Gigi have been a good pairing. And they haven't done anything with them yet. So, that would at least be something fresh coming out of
yeah,
Mania.
That's what I was thinking as well. But I'm going to go with Chalk here and say Roxanne and Cora. Just because it's like, it's just so weird that Roxanne is getting nothing on Mania. She goes up to SmackDown. She loses to Tiffany Stratton, and she's back here in NXT looking for a match of some kind, and she ends up on the pre-show. That just is odd to me. Speaking of the women, NXT Women's North American Championship ladder match. Zarya versus Kalani Jordan versus Sol Ruka versus Izzy Dame versus Lola Vice versus the returning Thea Hale. Which Thea Hale in a ladder match, I'm laughing. I'm sorry. I want to see her try and pick up one of these big ladders and set it up. But I am going to say, Sol Ruka just won the speed title. So I'm thinking it's going to be, boy.
I'm thinking
Zarya.
Izzy.
I think it's Zarya.
Oh, Zarya. Okay. Yeah. I was thinking Izzy just because they do seem to like her. She hasn't done anything yet, and she does seem to about due for a breakout herself.
Yeah, I that's my second choice if I had one. I would think that, but Zarya's been in like the world title picture, and she didn't get it. And now she's kind of been hanging around this North American title thing, and she was a big deal given her entrances and stuff, and they cooled her off with the Sol Ruka team. I think this is a chance to reheat her a little bit. Thea Hale wouldn't be the worst choice either here. To be honest,
have they broken up the Sol Ruka team?
No, they're still together, no. And they're still kind of they're kind of saying, "I'll be the champion." No, I'll be the champion type of thing. This would be a way to break them up, though.
Yeah, but I think that's foreshadowing that neither of them are going to win.
Yeah, that's true too. So, I mean, Izzy, they could just see what they have with her.
And that's what Sean Spears' whole promo about, like, yeah, making the calling. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, it makes sense. In what I thought was the best stuff with the women, because that, God, there is nothing worse on NXT than those locker room sketches where all women hate each other. I hate them. But they did some great vignettes on last night's NXT, especially, I thought, the Jordynne Grace and the Jada Parker ones were really, really good. But in a fatal four-way for the NXT women's title, Stephanie Vaquerre, who also had a pretty good one, versus Julia, versus Jordynne Grace, versus Jada Parker. Is there a title change here?
I don't think there is, especially with Vaquerre doing the no recent belt. I mean, if she left from being a double champion to being a non champion out of this, I feel like there'd be a bit of a mutiny against that. I think she's got to retain here.
I think she has to retain unless she's being called up. On the, like, the Raw after Mania, where they just go, look, you're too good to be on here, we're leaving. But she wanted to go to NXT originally so that she could get better English and better promos. I think she retains as well.
And I think she still needs that a little bit. I think, I think her English is good, but I think she just needs to get a little more comfortable with, like, talking about other things. And I think, you know, credit to her for throwing herself into commentary positions and stuff like that that are outside of her comfort zone. Yeah. She's using NXT to grow.
Yeah, she's doing Chilean media as well. She was really good. They showed her doing that yesterday. I would agree. I think she's a strong champion. I think there's nothing wrong with having a strong women's champion at the top. Not that Julia wasn't necessarily. It's just they rushed that whole we're friends and now we're frenemies thing. And I think Stephanie has a little bit more of presence right now in the WWE system, and Julia not having the title and not having the spotlight, it would give her some time to work on hers as well.
Sure. And I think Julia is a good cautionary tale that if you can't control your voice, you can't control your story.
Yeah. Jordynne Grace and Jada Parker are doing good work here, though. I don't mean to give them any short shrift whatsoever.
No, Jada Parker is a real good example of someone who is using her voice to advance her story.
Mm-hmm. She's one of the better promos on NXT. Jordynne Grace, I don't know. I it's so weird how they're presenting her, because they're just presenting her as TNA's Jordynne Grace, who signed full time here. And then we just beat her with everybody. It's like, okay.
I want her to be arrogant. I want her to, right? Like, I want her to be arrogant. Like, this whole thing's above her. You know, like her slant on this is Stephanie's champion. That's great. I'm on the same level as her, like, at least, because I've been a champion in TNA. I don't think that these other people who are NXT trainees are on the same level as me. I'm in the prime of my career, and I'm not here to dicker around. I'm here to win.
Nathan Frazier and Axiom versus Hank and Tank, and they just basically reran the Lyra Valkyria Bailey playbook in that tag team gauntlet for this match. Hank and Tank have found their voice, so to speak, but they're not better than Frazier and Axiom. So unless you're breaking up Frazier and Axiom, which I hope they have now backed away from, I don't see a title change here.
No, I actually think Hank and Tank should not find their voice. I think the Frazier and Axiom curse of getting fraxiomed, it should continue where
they break up after this.
Yes. Hank loses his mind on Tank, or I'm sorry, Tank loses his mind on Hank.
Yeah.
Of those two, the only one who's maybe got a chance is Tank.
Or a rematch with, what's this? The biker guys, the Japanese, the Inamura and
Briggs
Jensen. Oh, Briggs, my fault.
Briggs, Jensen. Yeah.
I get Briggs and Brooks mixed up.
Well, okay, so it was JB and BJ, where it was Brooks, yes. Jensen and Josh Briggs.
Right.
Yeah.
Ricky Saints versus Ethan Page for the NXT North American Championship in a AEW special.
Look at us use these guys better than you. Yeah, right. No.
No, this is the Paul Rudd thing. Look at us.
I think it's good for both of them that they're at least like fighting for a belt in a major promotion and getting a decent payday and being utilized for what they're good at. He's clearly going to be the story for the next year in NXT, and that's a good thing.
In an utterly useless match that was added last night, and I have no idea why, the D'Angelo family, Tony D'Angelo, Channing Stacks, Lorenzo, and Luca Crucifino, taking on Dark State, who shouldn't be wrestling and should just be jumping people still, Dion Lennox, Cutler James, Shaquan Sugars, and or Osiris Griffin. Dark State's totally winning this. There's no drama to it whatsoever. Maybe the D'Angelo family split up. I don't know.
How they've managed to already get go away heat with me. This faction sucks. Like
this faction is stupid, and they're already just
they don't
matches.
Even have a slapjack to like make this thing redeemable, right? They don't have a leader like a slapjack. All they have is book guy Dion Lennox.
Yeah, book God. Unless they like change that books. Tomorrow, and that's gonna stink if they do.
Is the motivation gonna be that he's upset that he couldn't get chicks?
that would be horrible. I just decided to bring down all of NXT because this woman didn't like me after I spoke to her and went with
She went with the shiny Adonis.
Oh, God. And in a triple threat match for the NXT title. And boy, I thought this promo segment was rough last night. Oba Femi versus Trick Williams versus Javon Evans.
Oh, my God. These three men just do not have any charisma together whatsoever. They don't have a story to tell. And
it doesn't feel like a fight when they're talking to each other. It feels like they're saying things and waiting for everybody else to speak. And it's just like, and you know, the worst of it is Javon, and he's the guy who needs to be the best on the stick because he's the smallest of the three.
Right. If anything, these scenes really should be working through Javon. I think you figured this out. Oba Femi's character is sort of this big, aloof, dominant champion. Trick Williams, I'm hungry. I still want to be in the hunt. I've been a champion. I still view myself very much as a relevant member of this conversation. And Javon Evans should be the one basically saying, like, Trick, it's not your turn, and you're the bad guy here. Like, you step aside. Like, you had your chance. You lost to this man multiple times. Oba Femi's face, you know, actually getting up into his grill and go, you're looking at me and dismissing me because of size.
Yeah.
And what you don't get is that I'm actually here because of accomplishment. Size is not merit. Merit is done by pinfalls and victories, and I've had enough of those to be your serious contender. And then we need to see moments, frankly, where Javon's high-flying acrobatics completely flummox the two bigger guys and make them look goofy, that their size is a disadvantage because this guy's so fast that them having to account for three people or two other people and also a flying Javon Evans is going to be a problem for them.
Well, I think the women's three-way on the main roster would be a good template where, I mean, have Oba be just annoyed that he's still dealing with these two. Have Trick Williams just be an absolute rageaholic, just angry. And these two are just at each other. And Javon's like, why are you guys not paying attention to me? And then doing all that flying stuff to get their attention. I don't know, man. It's one of these things where Javon feels so out of place here. Even though I really like him a lot, it's just like he feels like he's there to take the pin right now.
And he needs to be there to get over, right? The mistake here is the casting. Javon Evans, the whole point of this story is I'm in the conversation now. Like he actually really should outclass Trick throughout this entire match and be like, your time's up, dude. Go move on to the main roster. There are other young people fighting for this title now here. And he should almost beat Obafemi. Trick Williams should eat the pin, and Javon Evans should be within an inch of winning this title. And that should be the story coming out of this match.
That'll do it for NXT. We now move over to later that evening, night one of WrestleMania. Neither Rumble winners headlining that night, which, why did they make that the step? I'll pose this question to you, Chris. Is it Nick Aldis versus Randy Orton, or is it Randy Orton versus somebody else?
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof, massaging leather appointed seats are available features. Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof, massaging leather appointed seats are available features.
Or does Randy Orton not even make the card?
Oh, they gotta give Randy something. Just to give him the payday, right?
See, I was thinking possibly Shane McMahon gets brought in at the last second because he'll get a pop and then he can take an RKO. I just don't think they want Aldis wrestling for weird reason, even though I'd love it.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think they're going to do all this.
I also think Brock Lesnar is still on the table, but don't quote me on that.
I think what they're going to do with Randy would be something like, you know, a bit sort of thing, you know, yeah. like the time that like John Cena had that match against Eric from the Wyatt family.
I'm also here if this is all a ruse,
or
if Kevin Owens walks in and says, I don't really need surgery, I was just working people. Or he'll do the match anyways before the next surgery and they'll just do a walk-in brawl for a while. I don't know, but there's no way in hell Randy Orton is not on this card, but he's not on our card right now, so there will be no preview of his match.
But he's going to win it.
Yes, he's going to win it. Starting with the War Raiders versus the New Day for the World Tag Team titles. I thought both teams cut some pretty good promos on Monday night.
I like this feud.
I do.
I think the New Day need to steal the belts from the War Raiders and but the War Raiders need to chase the New Day for a long time. Like this, what they should do here is like cross these guys, and these guys now effing hate them.
And now have the New Day scared.
Yes. The money's in the chase here, but I like this feud. I hope it continues. I hope, and the New Day need to win the titles here.
Yeah, and I need the New Day to act scared, not cocky New Day that they've been. Thank God for the New Day. I want them to go, are the War Raiders here? Because they're going to kill our ass tonight if they're around. You know, I don't even want to do this backstage interview with you right now, Kathy Kelly, because the War Raiders may come out. That's the kind of fear I want to see in the New Day. I want Big E to say, War Raiders going to get you, Kofi and Xavier.
Yeah, let me give a call to one of my buddies real quick. Yo, Ivar. Hey, I got two guys you might want to see.
Yeah, and then
you want to talk to him? And they're off the camera already. No, they left. They left, but they were right here.
Miz not on this WrestleMania. That could be a Randy Orton opponent.
Randy Orton could be fed to the Miz. Yeah, the Miz. Yes, absolutely. Randy Orton could be fed to the Miz.
God help us. Rey Mysterio versus El Grande Americano, who is totally not Chad Gable.
Looks great though. Physical specimen, that guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think El Grande Americano wins this with the mask just to set up a next one. I don't think Rey Mysterio can have the big win just yet. I think there's some more legs to this, but that's just me.
I think so too. I don't really see a point. I think they're gonna keep the El Grande Americano thing going because it's what they got for Gable right now. And he seems to be having some fun with it.
Yeah. Jade Cargill versus Naomi in a singles match. He says with an uptick, because he's not sure how that match is going to go. In terms of in-ring, I think Jade goes over, but I think Naomi's doing good work in her promos, even though I did find that razor blade look a little over the top.
That was a strange look. I think it's going to be real interesting to watch Jade Cargill sell anything. So,
yeah.
And then she'll win.
LA Knight versus Jacob Fatu in a singles match for the WWE United States title. Dear Lord, do not let this be 50-50. Just let Jacob Fatu murder death him. He'll be fine. LA Knight talks, he'll still get a pop.
I think it's going to be LA Knight gets very close to beating Jacob Fatu. And
I do too.
Barely wins. Yeah, I think it's not even going to be 50-50. Like, they're going to protect LA Knight. And LA Knight's just in the wrong area right now. He's kind of stuck in this
lane. I think
they're
going to give him some shine. I don't know if they're going to protect him per se, but they're going to say, oh, Jacob Fatu can run through Braun Strowman, but he can't through LA Knight, which is a very interesting story to tell in some ways.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I think LA Knight, well, we could be wrong here. LA Knight might outsmart Jacob Fatu, and that might be.
Oh, my God. No, they can't do that.
Yeah, they might do this thing of, like, you know, Fatu's just trying to muscle his way through all of his opponents, and LA Knight uses, like, veteran savvy.
LA Knight brings out his dormant heel shtick and figures out a way to beat Jacob Fatu just to lose it on the next SmackDown, probably.
Yeah, well, hopefully he can get off of SmackDown too. I feel like LA Knight's not being done any favors by being on SmackDown.
Tiffany Stratton versus Charlotte Flair in what has been a horrible, horrible build in so many ways.
Yeah.
I think the match might slap a little, depending on how cooperative Charlotte Flair is with Tiffany.
I hope, frankly, at this point, I'm rooting for this match to get uncooperative and for Tiffany to just get her. I'm over Charlotte. I am. Like, she's been like this her whole career.
Yeah.
And it's always gotten on my nerves. It's not even like any deep, profound fondness for Tiffany Stratton, but like, for some reason, this Stratton feud, you know, like, yes, it's optics, but like, it's also just kind of put it in relief. Like, Tiffany Stratton's just actually a very talented person who's, every time she's been asked to do stuff, she's been willing to get down and dirty. Like she, you know, she's been willing to take the extra, like, bumps. She's taken the tough ladder shots. She's gotten bloody in the matches. She's just not soft, dude. Like she has my respect, and like I don't know, like Charlotte doesn't respect anything, and I'm kind of like here for somebody to finally put her in her place in match.
Triple H loves Rick, though. I think Charlotte Flair wins this. I do, and now we get another Charlotte Flair title reign. Hey, how about that? Gunther versus Jey Uso, yeet. Right?
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, if Gunther somehow retained here, my lord.
And we get the visual of the yeeting right into the triple threat match. Roman Reigns versus CM Punk, who will have Paul Heyman in his corner as part of this favor, versus Seth Rollins. My question for you is twofold. Chris, who wins and who does Paul Heyman end up with at the end of the night?
Rollins and Rollins?
I think that's the correct answer.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm going too.
I think Seth Rollins needs a new coat of paint, and I think this match gives it to him. CM Punk can continue his chase, and he'll probably win Money in the Bank. And Roman Reigns is just gonna be Roman Reigns, but he's gonna be the lead dog of his bloodline.
Which and he's going to be more on and off camera too, you know, and I also think Gunther winning the belt or Gunther losing the belt to Jey Uso allows Gunther to kind of enter into the world title picture and finish up his business with Cody, which got started.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, so I think the Roman stuff is done. Heyman aligning himself with Seth Rollins over Punk is perfect for Punk and Heyman to yell at each other about to the end of time. And then even Paul Heyman could bring in tag team partners and that sort of thing for Seth Rollins. Paul Heyman could become more grandiose and arrogant and mirror Seth Rollins' grandiosity.
That works for me.
Yeah.
Night two, April 20th. Happy Easter, everybody.
Smoke 'em if you got 'em.
Tag team title match for the women's tag team championship. Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez versus Bayley and Lyra Valkyria.
I think Liv and Raquel retain.
I do too. I have this notion, though, that maybe Bayley and Lyra win it, and then they get that match against Roxanne and Cora, and it becomes, and this is where Bayley turns heel, back heel, and she's now mentoring Cora and Roxanne. I could see something like that, possibly. Maybe they just do that match anyways without the titles. But I don't think Liv and Raquel lose this. I think Liv's too
No,
hot
I
of a
was gonna say
character.
that stuff's like, yeah, the other stuff you're mentioning is too kind of bank
Yeah.
shoddy for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a match I think might steal WrestleMania weekend, and I don't say that sarcastically. AJ Styles versus Logan Paul.
Logan Paul wins, but I think AJ Styles, as I sort of picked out here today, it's just.
Forget how good he is.
We forget how good his WWE career is for someone who did it like late. Where
Yeah.
everyone said it was too late, and instead he had an entire second or third, depending on how you want to look at his career, leg in his career that's just greatness. I think he's gonna deliver. I think people are gonna be real
I think
surprised.
this match is gonna slap. I do. I mean, you can have your compunctions about either of these guys and opinions that they have on certain subjects, but dude,
They
they're
are
both
sort of
at
bad take machines.
they're athletic, but man, they are athletic
Oh, I
bullshit
know.
too.
Yeah,
So.
right. Oh, and if I'm Randy Orton, I'd be like, can we shoehorn me into the Logan Paul AJ Styles match? And I just do spots and hit a couple of guys with some RKOs.
In what I think might be the most fun match of the 2 days, Bron Breakker versus Penta versus Finn Balor versus Dominic Mysterio in a four-way for the Intercontinental Championship. And no, I'm going to say this. I think Dominic Mysterio leaves with this
Dom.
title.
Yeah, intercontinental champion.
And then says he should be leader of the Judgment Day.
Yeah, I think that's where this is going. He is going to get his own faction at some point here.
I think so too, and I think it's
Yes.
going to be the Judgment Day. I think Finn's going to be playing second banana for a while till he decides to break off and he's had enough of it. But Braun, Penta, and Finn are going to be a hell of a lot of fun killing each other for our amusement on this WrestleMania stage, I think, because
Yeah, I agree.
God knows Bron Breakker has just been a badass. In a match where I haven't liked the build, to be honest with you, and it hasn't been bad, it just hasn't been up to snuff. And both guys have kind of gotten lost in the shuffle. Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre in a Sin City street fight.
Yeah, I don't think the stips elevated the match. I think this just really feels like we didn't quite have anything for either one of these guys program.
Go hit each other with crap.
Go hit each other because both of these dudes are capable of better promos, but they've written absolutely nothing for these two men.
Yeah, the
Just
motivation hasn't
go
been there.
backstage and like attack each other because you don't like each other because like you don't like each other, you know?
They were hoping that Drew's anger and resentment towards all these stories he's been in would carry this feud, and he'd find a way to figure that out with Damian Priest because of the whole, how he won the title type stuff, but.
Yeah. It's not happening. It's not there, man.
And I don't like Damian Priest as a babyface. I'm going to say it. I wish he'd go back to the Judgment Day, but that's
me. I think the character can work as a babyface. Yeah.
It's just this, he needs a motivation as a babyface, right. And he doesn't have one. That's the problem here.
And he also doesn't have an MO, right? I think for a cool babyface, there needs to be an MO to how they do stuff. Like the Stone Cold Steve Austin template, right? Like arrive, drink beer, stun people, leave. Like some sort of like, there needs to be a bit of a swagger to the way you do stuff. And Priest doesn't have that. Like when Damian Priest enters into a room to talk to the boss, what's that like? Hey, you know, how's it going, Nick Aldis? I was thinking maybe I could be in the next world title picture. Well, you know what, Damian? I agree with you on that. I do agree with you on that. You can be in that world title match. All right. Oh, that sounds really good. I look forward to being in that world title match. Like that's currently what we're getting out of Damian Priest.
He's not too cool for school. He's a good employee.
Right. Like it's not that he comes. It's not that he arrives in the office and does like something kind of like inherently cool. Like Nick Aldis is like flipping the pen and Priest like can snatch it like a Mr. Perfect sort of swagger thing. He's another good example of having a cool thing about him. You know, Perfect wasn't always the best babyface, but like there was enough to his character where it did allow him to be cool as a babyface.
Mm-hmm. He kept his cocksuredness and stuff.
And
that
actually translated. Yeah.
Triple threat match for the women's world title. And I'm looking forward to this one. Io Sky versus Bianca Belair versus Rhea Ripley. Who do you have?
I think Bianca.
I am also going with Bianca. I was because I didn't want to.
Because she's going heel or something. Something's changing in her character.
I think she and Naomi were in on the Jade beatdown.
Yeah,
and I also think just from a perspective, Bianca Belair is still undefeated at WrestleMania. I think she's going to have the female Undertaker streak. I don't think Bianca Belair ever loses at WrestleMania when she's there. I think that's part and parcel now of the gimmick. I was thinking Io Sky up until I read that stat, and I just don't see Bianca Belair taking a loss at WrestleMania.
I was more struck by just the promo. The promo seemed like character change, and Io just has felt inserted into this.
Yes.
To which even her character in this is, don't forget about me, I'm also here!
But she gets the big pops when she does that, too. That's the weird thing.
Yes.
Is Rhea has all the energy until they decide to pie-face Io, and then everybody goes, oh, yeah, Io's the best women's wrestler in the world right now. So that's an interesting dynamic. I just see Bianca. I think Bianca's going heel, and I think she's taking the title with her. Which is interesting, because then you get into Cody Rhodes versus John Cena for the WWE title. I guess the only question is, do we see The Rock during this match? Because I think John Cena wins this, and I don't think it's going to be that disputed. Can you find me a reason for Cody to retain here?
No, I don't think, right? Like, I don't think Cody, when you look back at the story up to this point.
I think Cody's been a very good champion. I just don't think this story.
Not telling the story that Cody beats John Cena here.
No.
I think Cena wins. Yeah.
No,
I'm not seeing that in the story.
Everything interesting about this story has to revolve around John Cena tying or beating Ric Flair in his title and how that affects him. It has to. It's much like Cody finishing the story in L.A. was the interesting choice, and it was the wrong choice to then deny that and wait for a year, because it never got any more interesting than Cody finishing the story in Los Angeles.
Right, and at this point, the John Cena heel turn's kind of been not amazing, and so the thing that's going to really stabilize this and save this, I think, you know, potentially... You know, maybe the first couple of chapters of the story weren't amazing, but the middle chapters and the finish were exceptional. Cena's got to win here.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I think we do see The Rock. I think we see a lot of people. I think this is really overwrought. I think
this is going to be an overbooked mess.
This is going to be an overbooked mess. I think Cody is betrayed by someone else too. Ooh. It's not merely The Rock. Someone else betrays Cody along the way to making Cena champion.
Maybe Seth Rollins is now in on being part of this Rock's crew type of a thing. I could see
that would be interesting. Heyman and Rollins are part of the Rock's crew with Cena.
Yeah, everybody sells their soul. I'm here for that.
Yeah, right. Like, it's very clear Seth Rollins is, you know, upset that he's not in the main event and all of that. So yeah.
Let's do Vader Club and get out of here then. I picked Steiners versus Head Shrinkers because I think it's not one of the best WrestleMania matches of all time, but it is a Steiners Hoss match against a team they know in the Head Shrinkers, in this case Samu and Fatu, who were the Samoan SWAT team. This is the old WWF ring, which had no give to it, and they are still doing Steiner moves on it, and it does not look comfortable at all. Commentary is Heenan's trying to haze the new guy and Jim Ross. He's not being very cooperative, and God, Savage should never be on commentary because he should still be in the ring, but he's doing his best to keep it all together here. But look, this is classic Steiners to me, and there's some great moves in here, and Rick Steiner and Scott are just absolute beasts in this match, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the type of wrestling you don't normally associate with WWF from
this era.
It's
a very WCW match.
Right. That's exactly how that's kind of the term that comes to mind, just from like the way they square up in the ring and stuff. And I mean, it does not feel WWF-y. There's no degree of campiness. I mean, geez, like
There's none of that dumb crap that they would do with Rick later or anything. Oh, I'm an idiot type of a thing necessarily. They are just two guys from the University of Michigan here killing fools.
Right. And like, you know, the Head Shrinkers for their part, I think are, you know, very giving in the selling and that sort of thing. Like, I mean, they are getting off of their feet, you know, to take these bumps and stuff. They're not being lazy, and they're not, you know, just, you know, road warrioring it where they, you know, boots of iron on the ground.
There are some stiff clotheslines in this one.
Oh man, as you mentioned, I always like to have these on as we are chatting things, and like this is no exception. I've had this both of our matches on as we've been chatting today, and like there's just a lot of fun. Like this is good Steiners, man. Like I think the thing for me with the Steiners too is it's the fact that they got off the ground so much. They were really comfortable being vertical at this phase of their career. You know, jumping off the top, you know, the Steinerizer and all that other stuff. That really added dimension to their tag team style. It wasn't just pure power. It wasn't just Scott doing the power moves and that sort of thing. It's like he did the Frankensteiner. It's the Bulldog off the top. Mm-hmm. It's all that other stuff.
And for your choice, as I was watching this match today, God, we do underrate AJ Styles and how much WWE helped his act. Like, it's not that he wasn't ever a good wrestler, and it's not that he couldn't do promos, and it's not that he wasn't a good personality. It's just the personality and the work really came together when he got to WWE to a level where it elevated him versus he's just a guy from New Japan who's slumming it in WWE sort of a thing. And you know, look, Shane's a tough task for anybody.
I thought he was good in this match though, too.
He's decent in this match, but it's still, you see him potato AJ Styles.
Oh, there's that part, but like, okay. So obviously whenever you deal with Shane, it's like the weird quadri of his stuff looks like shit, but like it actually hurts to take. But I even thought there were spots where his strikes, which, you know, most of us would rather he never did, didn't look bad. I think that there's actually a lot of like the interstitial stuff here. It's not, this is a match that's not just merely high spots. And that's kind of what I respected too. It would have been very easy for Shane to come in here and basically structure this match around the 3-4 high spots, all of which are pretty ballsy too.
Yeah.
Like the coast. Yeah. I mean, and then otherwise have this be a walk and brawl. But Shane is like, no, I want to do things like an Olympic slam. No, I actually want us to have like a corner and strike sequence. Like, I mean, he actually planned out beats to this match, and that to me is kind of what stuck out in my mind, especially in the rewatch here. Is there's just a lot more to this than what you'd think of as the Shane McMahon special.
I saw this match live and it over delivered in the arena, and then now watching it on TV, it was I mean, but AJ doing the cocky stuff, so good. I mean, it really was. It was almost like he was playing with his food for a while, and then Shane ends up potatoing him, and then he turns into a fight. And I kind of dug that about this match.
Yeah, I think there's a story. The story is bolstered by the high spots, and the high spots are well executed.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of everything I want.
Enjoy WrestleMania, everybody. Chris, do your plugs while I log into this meeting and I come back. You may have
to learn guitar from the greatest guitar player to ever guitar on the playing of guitar. Instagram.com, Dr. Nov, DOCTOR_NOV. Also, music, do you? I do. And if you are into music, which I make sometimes with guitar chords and also drums, you can listen to that on the Spotify. Spotify is the place to listen to my music. Type in Chris Novembrino. That is the name of the project, which is based off of the name of the person who plays the music.
My meeting got canceled, so I didn't have to go to it. You can follow me at Crap Game 13 on X. I'm doing the Fightful Mania post shows. I also do the Dynamite show on Fight Game Media. But enjoy your weekend of wrestling, everybody. I got to go back to work. Talk to you later.
Hello there, everybody. It's me, Garrett Kidney, the co-host of You've Got to Be Kidding Me on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
And I am Liam Jones, my full name, and I'm also a part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as a co-host for You've Got to Be Kidding Me.
We are a TNA history podcast that covers TNA 1 month at a time. We cover all the drama, all the matches, all the Vince Russo nonsense you could ever want in your life.
Have you heard of TNA? I bet you have, but would it be funnier if two people made jokes over it the whole time? Probably.
So if that sounds like fun to you, check it out on this very Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network, and Liam will do bits and whatnot.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion, or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.